The book of Joshua continues the story begun in Exodus, the story of Israelites' liberation from bondage and their journey to the abundant land that God long promised them. Today, we hear of their initial settling into the region of Jericho. God describes the final removal of any disgrace the Israelites retained from the generations of slavery. The name Gilgal is wordplay intended to sound like the rolling away of the stone of shame. This transition from a life of shame into a life of honor is marked by the first celebration of Passover in their homeland. They no longer need to be fed with manna from heaven. Now they may eat the produce of their own country in dignity and peace. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, sometimes called in our Christian tradition Refreshment Sunday, we break from our Lenten fast and reflect together on the ways of our dignity, like the dignity of the ancient Israelites, has been restored by God in Christ. A reading from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away, because of my groaning all day long. For your hand was heavy upon me, day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, all the faithful may break their bread to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice.
In our second reading today, Paul writes to the church of Corinth about the new life they have received in Christ. This new life is beyond all transaction, beyond anything they can possess or earn. It is through the gift of Christ, Paul argues to them and to us centuries later, that we see all people and all creation, all life and even death itself, with completely new eyes. This new perspective is rooted fully in the divine life and marked by our central work with Christ, reconciling all things to God through the ministry of forgiveness. A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, who was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The traditional title of the parable we just heard is The Prodigal Son, although some scholars like to point out perhaps a more suitable title for it would be The Generous Father. I also have another one for it, The Resentful Older Brother, right? That, in fact, I think is the point of the context. Jesus teaches this in response to the religious authorities of his day grumbling about the fact that sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and all kinds of people are coming to Jesus. The hard thing for us to realize is that there is no language in the Gospels that they leave their ways of life. They simply come to Jesus. These are people who have been ostracized by their society and they're at the margins. The Pharisees want to say, well, with good reason. They're ritually impure, they scandalize people, they rob some people of their money. Why do you let them approach? At the heart of this teaching is perhaps one of the hardest things that each and every one of us, and us as a community, and us as a society, and us as a church, even after 2,000 years, must grapple with, and that is the radical teaching of forgiveness at the heart of our tradition. So radical, in fact, that Paul theologizes it today in his letter to the church in Corinth, as I'm fond of saying, a quarrelsome bunch. You know? They were always fighting about something in Corinth, and there was a lot of finger pointing, a lot of judgments there, and a lot of gossip, as there was in Jesus' day. Paul writes to them and reminds them that the heart of what they have received by taking Christ into their lives through baptism and through the sacrament, the heart of that is reconciliation. The knitting back together of God's great family. Not just reconciliation for the people who are close to us, but everyone we meet and the whole of creation. That is the new world that God is bringing into life through Christ. And you notice that Paul doesn't say you have to do these five things first. That would be a familiar way for a religious authority in his day to speak. And it is still familiar enough to us as well. We live also in a transactional world. We transact different things and we value different things than first century society, but it's all about, what are you going to give me, and then what am I going to give you? But in fact, what Paul is hinting at and what Jesus points to with this story of a father who is so generous, he embraces his wayward son without question or precondition, is that God has already forgiven in Christ. Now, most of us who live in the life of faith in Christian community operate still under the transactional assumption that we have to ask for forgiveness before we can receive it. But that's not what the gospel tells us. The gospel says it is already there, available to us. It's radical and hard, especially where we have been wounded or injured, especially in those places where we are challenged to forgive ourselves, let alone others. Desmond Tutu, I think, had probably the best way of describing this type of radical forgiveness when he taught that forgiveness is like the light. It is there. We didn't create it. We can't destroy it. All we can do is open the curtains of our hearts and let it in. And that is our first and probably primary task in our spiritual growth, is to let the forgiveness of God into the midst of our lives. To set aside all of the preconditions and the judgments and everything else that stands between us and the forgiveness that is already there, and embrace it. And then we are participating in the reconciliation, as Paul writes, that God is already doing around us. And more importantly, then, we carry that ministry to others. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, sometimes called Reconciliation Sunday, back in England, it's called Mothering Sunday. One of the traditions was you would get up and you would go to your mother's church and spend some time with her. It may even be Mother's Day in the British calendar. It was intended to be a time of refreshment for us. And in fact, the old Latin name for the Sunday is a word that means rejoice. We rejoice because we are forgiven. And our only task this day is to embrace that in our heart of hearts. And then we are in a place to share that with so many who need it.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior in Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.